Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
With a broken freaking ankle.
Man, yeah, guys, APB, we're looking for four dudes, one guy in a suit. These guys wearing mullets. We left the Baltimore tapings, and they just, in the parking lot, you know, there's some grainy footage out there, but they just attacked Runs over here, took his ankle out. I don't know.
Yeah, four large dudes with mullets or four steps with carpet. Either way you want to look at it, you know, I lost that fight. But, you know, we'll be back in stronger than ever.
So just before we get started, I just want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with pwponderings.com, rohworld.com, and lastwordonprowrestling.com. We're also featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. All right, so, yeah, the big news of the week. Runs, breaks his ankle in three places. I still think it's those guys in Baltimore. We also have, so we have our first-hand account of being down at the Ring of Honor Baltimore tapings this week. We will have a special interview with Jonathan Gresham towards the end of the episode, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And we're going to go over the Raw and SmackDown Superstar Shakeup. All right, so do you want to start with the Shakeup, or do you want to start with ROH?
No, oh yeah, I mean, we might as well just talk about our experience in Baltimore and then move on to WWE stuff. You know, this was my first visit, go-round, whatever, to an ROH TV taping. And, you know, it was pretty cool. It was awesome. I like the venue. You know, I like the little roller rink or whatever it is. You know, I like how it looked. I like how they set it up. You know, I like the bleachers being there. If it wasn't for that net, it would be a lot better. But, you know, I enjoyed the majority of the show. It's when you go to an ROH TV taping, you have to go there knowing that every match you're going to see isn't going to be, you know, a pay-per-view main event. There's going to be some matches where the guys are whatever, or there's new guys and this and that. So, you know, you got to be prepared with that. And that's the same, you know, if you go to a Raw or a SmackDown or an NXT or this or that, you're always going to get those type of matches. But four episodes at once is definitely a lot.
No, yeah, I mean, I was prepared for it because I had gone down to the show in Atlanta in January, so I was kind of ready for the amount of time it was going to be and the kind of matches we would get. And, you know, so from that point of view, for me, I was a little bit more prepared for it, so I was okay with, like, the length of it and everything like that. I really liked the Williams J. Myers Pavilion. It was actually a really cool venue to be. You know, to be in attendance for and to be able to watch wrestling from. We got to sit in the bleachers, so we weren't super close to the ring. But I actually liked the view, and I would have rather those seats than, like, say, the 9th or 10th row on the floor.
Right. And I just, you know, the only thing that I wasn't a fan of for, you know, the whole taping was just the kind of the crowd. You know, it wasn't that lively of a crowd. It was strange because they're there for a Ring of Honor show, and yes, maybe people just come because it's wrestling. You know, there's people around us who didn't know half the people, but they know Cody, they know the Young Bucks, so they pop for those guys, which, you know, yeah, that happens everywhere those guys go. But the Skrulls, people had no idea who Marty Skrull was, and it's just like, come on. Like, well, you're coming here, this guy is one of, you know, the second biggest champion that they have, and you're not really familiar with him. So it was things like that where the crowd just kind of killed it. If it was 4 hours of the crowd being into it, it's a big difference. But with the crowd being quiet for probably 2 hours of it, especially the last, it was a little rough to get through. And you know, that sucks for the performers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we might, by the end of this episode, basically alienate everyone from Maryland, because we've talked about this when we're talking about the Evolve shows, how the crowd in Joppa isn't as exciting for us while we're watching it on TV, and now we're following up with the Ring of Honor. But I don't want to sound elitist. I just think that there might be something about New York shows and New York crowds that are people are a little bit more amped up, I think, for
events.
Well,
I mean, that kind of goes without saying. But I like, if you watch, there are other shows that take place in other states and cities where the crowd is a lot better, you know, and more knowledgeable or just more involved.
Yeah, I mean, so are we going to discuss at all some of the surprise appearances, or do you think that would be going too far to spoiler territory?
I mean, you can feel free to discuss them, but I don't think there's much to even discuss.
Well, I think that's some of the big news from the show, though. I mean, you know,
yeah, it's big news, but how big of news is it? Like, do people really care that the Spirit Squad was there? No. Do people really care that Matt Sydal is back? No.
There was one person
clearly
in attendance.
Clearly nobody in attendance cared about any of the top prospects or David Starr or Flip Gordon or any of the new guys that showed up other than you, okay, who was the only person in the building chanting Flip. And, you know, nobody joined in.
Well, I mean, to be fair, once the match started, there was a Flip chant that started around. But yes, when he came out, I was cheering so loudly that I couldn't hear anything around me. So I figured, oh, you know, I'm not the only one who's yelling Flip at the top of their lungs. And then I looked over at you with a clearly disapproving look on your face, like, you're really loud and crazy, and I didn't understand what was going on. And then I put together that I think I was the only person yelling it. So, big fan, Flip Gordon. So, if you're listening, I was that guy who was chanting. Guy started. Yeah, but you know, the energy level seemed to be a little bit down for some of these things that happened. And even if it was like, I feel like, okay, if you had the Spirit Squad come out in New York, you would have had, like, say, resounding boos or something, right? Like, some more of a reaction.
No.
You don't think so?
People don't care about the Spirit Squad.
I care enough to boo them.
No. No, you didn't. As soon as they came out, you were like, oh, God. Really? Why are these guys here?
All right. But I would have been more excited if everybody was booing, because then I could have joined in with the boos.
Well, that's my whole point here, is when everyone is involved, it makes the show a lot better. You know, like, if Shinsuke Nakamura would have came out and been dancing and everything, and nobody's saying anything, everyone would be like, what the fuck is this guy? Who is this?
That would have been amazing.
You know? Like, if people don't acknowledge things or people don't react, then it's hard for everyone else to.
No, yeah. I totally agree. I think they did set up some interesting things with the Bullet Club going forward. They kind of set up some different champions, or championship challengers going forward. So I kind of enjoyed the continuity that they're showing there and what I hope is going to come out of these TV tapings.
Yeah, that was a cool element where, you know, you got to see guys cut a promo at the start of the night and then have it come to fruition or see the payoff, you know, towards the end of the show. So that was a cool thing to see. Or, you know, like Sydal comes out to confront Skrull, and then Skrull comes out later for Sydal's match. So things like that, you know, like you said, was cool to see in the continuity that they had. But, you know, yes, I agree that they did set some things up here, and they did some things that I liked. But again, like, they did things that we liked with the main stars. Like, they need to focus on some of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right there. One of the things that I thought they did well was, you know, I guess using Rush to as much as they could before he's leaving, you know, so they've been building up this whole storyline that he had with the Rebellion, and, you know, that was his last appearance for Ring of Honor, and they had Taylor end up, like, looking strong, you know, as at the end of the match. So I think that was important. Doing something with the Rebellion. And that's a group that they've had for a while that I think needs to be seen as a little bit more legitimate.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. You know, now, at first, you can say whatever you want, how they started out and the gimmick and the cabinet and all that stuff. And, you know, maybe starting out as the cabinet kind of ruined the rebellion a little bit. But now adding Shane Taylor and having a big guy and having the muscle and that physical presence, that makes them more legitimate. So they need to do something. You know, a six-man title reign for them would not be a bad idea.
They you know, and they're going to get a title shot at some point, but I still think that they need to carry it. It just makes a lot of sense for those guys. I mean, to be fair, I find them to be entertaining. Caprice Coleman's ridiculous.
And that's the thing. Caprice Coleman has just gone off the deep end. And Rhett Titus and Ken King, well, you know, I've always loved. They're always entertaining. They've always been good hands. They've always been good workers. So putting them all together and giving them a purpose is a great idea. And now, you know, with Keith Lee leaving, Shane Taylor had nothing else to do. So that's a perfect fit for him. He fits in perfect with the group. Like we said, he gives them some muscle. And, you know, let's hope they improve going forward.
Did you take a look at any of the matches they've announced for the next couple of shows?
No.
Okay. All right, we can talk about those next week. I mean, they're not going to be for 2 weeks. So there's two shows coming up at the end of this month that we can cover. They started releasing matches. But it's just, it's nice that they're actually releasing the matches a little bit earlier. Just kind of hype up those shows. And then we're going to have the War of the Worlds tour, which hopefully we'll be in attendance for. There's a Toronto show, I believe. Then there's a really weird Wednesday night show in Detroit. Then they come to New York Friday, and then they're going to finish the tour, I think, with television tapings the 14th in Philly. So there's a lot going on. There are rumors that Omega might come out. By the way, as I hear myself, I just want to apologize. I am very under the weather this week. So if I sound like I have a stuffy nose, it's because I do. So apologies for the nasally conversation you're going to hear today. But I'm hoping to see. I really want to see Kenny Omega versus Cole at the New York show. I think that would be just great. And the New York show is actually going to be a pay-per-view, I believe. So they're making it out to be a bigger show because it should be. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think they're more than I was last year, because I guess I've followed New Japan a little bit more, so I'm into those guys a little bit more. So it has a little bit more meaning this year for me.
Right, and they're definitely building to some type of Omega and Cole, and it just depends if that takes place in Ring of Honor or New Japan or wherever. So it'll be definitely interesting to see, and that's a great match that I think everyone is looking forward to at some point when we get it. So we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. So do you want to kind of touch on the Superstar Shakeup like in order, or do you want to just discuss it as a thing altogether?
No, it doesn't really matter.
All right. So these are the guys that moved from Raw to SmackDown. We had kind of talked about a couple of these already last week. I mean, a lot of people were, so I'm not going to give us too much credit. But Kevin Owens was somebody that we had discussed, correct?
Yep. I believe I directly called Kevin Owens for Dean Ambrose.
Charlotte Flair. I feel like I might have brought that up. New Day, we said. I think we forgot about Rusev and Lana, or we just didn't mention them.
Right. I mean, they're not on TV, so it just was kind of an afterthought. Yeah.
So that makes sense. Sami Zayn, I'm very happy about. Then some other people that we would have forgotten about, the Shining Stars. I thought this was very effective, the way they brought them out. It made them seem like they actually are a threat. Which, when's the last time you thought anything about these two together?
Yeah, I mean, never.
Right?
But yeah, I guess it definitely was a much needed facelift for them, so a nice change of scenery. So, you know, they're good workers, and we'll see what time does for them.
And I think that they don't get dwarfed as much on SmackDown. Like, they have more teams that are around their size, I guess.
Yeah.
So that'll help out. I don't really understand why Sincara is now on SmackDown. So he's never going to be part of the 205 Live?
I don't think he is 205.
Oh. All right. Fair. All right. So that makes sense that Kalisto got traded to Raw because now he can be on 205 Live.
Yeah, Kalisto and maybe Apollo Crews if they could somehow sell that. And I don't even know, you know, 205 Live, yes, but, like, I don't know how much they're pushing the weight limit with Aries and Neville and that sort of a thing.
Yeah, it'd be great to find out that Neville's, like, 208 and he's disqualified.
Yeah, or, from like, 230. You know,
oh, that would be he's great. He's, like, a 18-year-old playing in, like, the Little League World Series type thing.
I guess.
I always love those stories. Where it comes out later, the kid's like really like 3 years older than everybody else, and that's why he dominated. Then probably the biggest name to move, the two biggest names from Raw to SmackDown, Jinder Mahal and Tamina. So, I mean, they really seem to be pushing Jinder a little bit, though. Am I wrong here, or is this just like a quick thing they're doing?
I think this is just like, you know, we need the bottom of the card guys. We need those mid-card guys. So Jinder is not an American, and that's automatically going to get him some heel heat. He is yoked and jacked out of his mind. So I'm sure he has some fans backstage. But, you know, whatever. You know, as soon as they brought him back, the whole thing was like, okay, well, now they brought him back. Now why the hell are they not doing anything? So that's fine. Get him some TV time. This whole thing with Mojo makes sense for him to be on SmackDown so he can have that feud for a little bit, and then I don't know where that goes.
And Tamina comes back. Nobody I totally forgot about Tamina.
You brushed over Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, Charlotte, and now you're going to spend 5 minutes talking about Tamina. And
because I'm talking about the guys that I know that when I go to the end, we go, okay, so what were the major moves? We're not going to talk about these guys. So I was leaving that for that segment of the show.
There's no point to talk about Tamina.
Okay.
Zero.
All right. Then afterwards, so let's touch on the bigger ones, right? Before we move on to the other show stars that they received. So I'm really happy about Sami Zayn, and I'm sick and goddamn tired of Kevin Owens.
I think the feeling is mutual there from Kevin Owens to Sami Zayn, and that was evident as soon as Sami Zayn's music hit. And, you know, this is something that I absolutely love. You know, just that these two guys who have been intertwined since they started, Kevin Owens just can't get rid of Sami Zayn. And he got drafted to Raw, so did Sami Zayn. He got traded to SmackDown, so did Sami Zayn. Like, every time he thinks he's clear, you know, Sami Zayn just keeps popping right back up. And the facial expressions, you can't be here. Like, talking trash to Shane and Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack, it's just fantastic. You know, these guys should never be separated. They should always be around each other, hating each other, interacting.
So what do you think about AJ ended up, you know, him winning the number one contender match?
I think it's a great idea. I think AJ and Owens will be fantastic. I think AJ, if he's not going to face Randy Orton right now for the world title, then where better to face than Kevin Owens for the U.S. title? So win or lose, it doesn't really matter. That's going to be a great rivalry. It's going to be a great storyline. The matches are going to be fantastic. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about either AJ going to Raw or the club going to SmackDown. And I think the reason why neither of those things happen is so that AJ can just be the actual face of SmackDown.
I mean, I'm surprised here with that move. I just thought that AJ was going to automatically be the next number one contender, and I just, after this whole weird, what is it called, like, House of Horrors match, like, after that, who's Orton going to face?
Who knows, but that's part of the beauty of it, and, you know, AJ Styles has been involved in the WWE Championship for almost a year. You know, like it at some point, it's got to be someone else. And AJ probably wasn't going to beat Randy Orton in the next month after the House of Horrors. So it makes a lot more sense for him to feud with Owens and get some wins, have some great matches there, you know?
Fair. I was just surprised that it was happening a little early. And then I just felt like it was weird for him to be going for the U.S. title, and that he's hyped about that.
I don't know why.
All right. He's a former world champion. He's the face that runs SmackDown. He's going for the secondary title, and he's like hyped about it. That's the only reason I was a little surprised by the way they developed that.
Would you rather be a champion or not a champion?
Well, no, I mean, I'd rather be a champion, obviously. Yeah. All right. And then Charlotte Flair moves over. And, you know, we ended up actually... We find out that also Lana is going to come over to the brand as a wrestler. So it's weird because I felt like SmackDown had...
Did they say that?
Yeah. There was like a video skit of Lana dancing on a chair.
Said she's...
Yeah.
Right, but did they say anything about her wrestling?
No, she's coming as a wrestler. They said it at some point. She's coming to be part of the women's division.
So. I don't understand why we got like Rusev is coming, and then, Lana's coming. Like, no shit, they're clearly not going to be separated.
Well, I think that, yeah, but I think they're trying to establish that she's coming as a wrestler. Right?
And yeah, that, I mean, that's fine, but... I don't know how bad I want to see that.
Fair. Then,
but you know, this is it happened in the draft, and it now is even more evident. SmackDown is the B show, right? Like SmackDown is the place where they put everyone that they just don't have time for on Raw, and that's not a detriment to AJ and Owens and Shinsuke and all and Corbin and all of these guys on SmackDown. But it's just like, yo, we only have 3 hours on Raw. You're gonna fall down the line. Where was Kevin Owens gonna go if he stayed on Raw with Balor and all those guys there? What was he gonna do? So I think it makes perfect sense, especially with the Charlotte. Charlotte feuded with everyone on that roster, held the women's belt for pretty much the whole year, right? Back and forth, whatever the case. So now it's time. Let her go to SmackDown, feud with Naomi, Natty, all those, Becky. You know, I would have liked to see Alexa stay there because I'm a little worried that Alexa gets kind of lost in the shuffle on Raw. But I don't really know.
No, you're right there. You got some valid points. So... Then we had everyone who switched from SmackDown to Raw, which is, I read it oddly. It's the way I found it on the WWE site anyway. But Miz and Maryse are now Raw. I think that's a great switch for them. Obviously, Maryse.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maryse is going to be, you know, associated with Miz because she's not really like wrestling on her own. But I think Miz needed some new blood to kind of mess with on Raw, and I think that this is kind of an acknowledgement of how great he's been as a heel on SmackDown.
Yeah, I think this was like a pat on the back for him. You know, like, hey, you killed it on SmackDown. Congratulations, you're getting moved up to Raw. And whether that's good for him or not, you know, time alone will tell. But hopefully he can... do some things on Raw that, you know, get him over even more.
Now, Dean Ambrose going over, I think, for me, is actually... It was because Owens was going to SmackDown. I didn't feel like you know, there's this whole thing where Owens still is defending his title against Jericho at Payback, and apparently whoever wins is the person who stays on SmackDown, but...
That's such a stupid
story. Oh wait, what was it that whoever wins stays on SmackDown, or... Yeah, whoever wins stays on SmackDown. So...
It's... So, like, am I supposed to imagine that Kevin Owens loses and just goes back to Raw? Like, and that's such a stupid... Like, he got traded to SmackDown. The U.S. title didn't get traded to SmackDown. Kevin Owens got traded to SmackDown. So, I don't necessarily understand that, but I get it. You want to... You need to sell that, because otherwise people are going to be like, oh, Chris Jericho is obviously not winning. He's on Raw. So, you need to at least try and put some doubt.
But you have the women's title switch on Raw how many times, right? You've had the tag team title switch on SmackDown. Why can't you have this match earlier and not on the pay-per-view?
Well, because it was already advertised for the pay-per-view. And Chris Jericho's on Raw.
All right. Fair.
And, you know, I get what you're saying, that like Dean Ambrose moved to Raw because Kevin Owens moved to SmackDown. I also think it's a title switch type of thing. Like, okay, let's put the IC title on Raw. Let's put the US title on SmackDown. Let's just have some new people hold those things for now. And like I said before the shakeup, now this reunites the Shield. And they're all on the same show. And we can get some fun things out of that, whether they're in tag team matches, or whether now they start feuding with each other and Ambrose turns or something. You know, Ambrose is in desperate need, no pun intended here, of a shakeup. He needs something fresh. He needs something new. So I think a heel turn, let him feud with Rollins, something like that would I think would be perfect. Rollins Ambrose feuding for the IC title, sign me up.
All right. Yeah, no, that'd be really great, actually. I didn't even think of that. Okay. Because I wasn't excited about Ambrose coming over. But I think you're right, because of the fact that I felt like he needed something. So
he's, ever since the Shield split up, he's wore a black or a gray tank top and jeans. He's had the same matches over and over again. He's cut the same promos over and over again. He's lost a step. He's the one from the Shield who has certainly stepped backwards. And whether that's him or whether that's the company, it's a fact. So they need to find a way to get him back, because when they split up, everyone was most hyped about Dean Ambrose. And, you know, they picked Rollins to join Triple H and Evolution and all that. And that worked like gangbusters. But now we need to do something with Ambrose. It's too late.
No, 100%, yeah. He needs some, like, rescuing a little bit, something. Do you think it's too early for Bray Wyatt? Like, yeah. I thought it was weird that he came over to Raw.
Yeah, that one I was very, very surprised at. I don't know if they're just, like, a fan of what he's been doing. And, you know, similar to The Miz, he kind of earned a spot on Raw. But I don't know. Do they want to go Bray and Brock? Do they want to go Bray and Braun? Bray and Roman again. You have feuds for him, and maybe on SmackDown over the past year he's feuded with everyone. I don't know.
Yeah, I
think they cut that short.
Do you think that he and Braun cross paths at all?
At some point they have to.
So that's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Then the women's division received Alexa Bliss and Mickey James. I was a little surprised to see Mickie James move, to be honest with you. I thought that her as veteran presence on SmackDown was actually a good thing. So I'm kind of shocked to have her move over to Raw.
But look at it this way. She feuded with Becky. She has her history with Alexa that now can continue to Raw, whatever. But she feuded with or wrestled everyone on SmackDown already in that short time. So now let her have matches with Bayley and Sasha and Nia. And, you know, who knows how long Mickie James has, you know, in the wrestling ring. So if she's there for another year, then you get her on both shows. You get her wrestling in the ring with every one of your future stars. So I think that's a good idea. You know, it was interesting. It was cool to see her back on Raw. So, you know, it was what it was.
All right. And the last, so we said Kalisto, Heath Slater, Rhino. Where have they been? Am I missing something?
No, they just haven't been around because the SmackDown Tag Team Division hasn't really been around. All right. Once they lost the tag team titles, that was it. You know, there was nothing else for them to do.
Yeah, I mean, do you think they bring like? Do you think it's weird that they got drafted together?
No, because they're a tag team. You know, maybe you just draft them and break them up or something along those lines.
All right. And, well, there were, so Curt Hawkins was the second person we found out, right? Apollo Crews didn't even have the... I just didn't understand announcing that Apollo Crews had been drafted before Raw. Was it other?
I don't get what WWE has done with Apollo Crews is one of the worst mishandling of talent I've seen in a long time. This guy came to NXT, got called up probably way too quick. He could have done a lot more on NXT. But, you know, good for him. He's a talented dude. He's got a great look. Fine. So they call him up, and then they don't use him. And then, okay, the draft happens. Let's put you on SmackDown so you can have some time. You can have some spotlight. And then I don't know that he's ever been on SmackDown. And then this superstar shakeup, and he gets traded back to Raw. Why? Unless he's going to be in the Cruiserweight division, it makes no sense.
Yeah, but why also do it off air?
Because who cares about Apollo Crews?
All right. And then I don't really get Curt Hawkins moving to Raw at all. Do you?
No, that's another guy that they signed and just kind of has been wasted. So I guess a change of scenery, maybe they can do some things on Raw. It's a 3-hour show. He has some more time. What show is Zack Ryder on? He's still on SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
See, that would have made sense if they traded him to Raw.
Well, I think you do something with Ryder and Mojo when Ryder's healthy again.
You know what I liked? Since the Hype Bros have been a tag team, whenever like Mojo says anything or does anything, like Zack Ryder kind of craps on him. And he's like, all right, man, like relax, like, you know, calm down, blah, 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 whatever. And then Mojo wins the Andre Battle Royal, and Zack Ryder's like, oh, so happy for my boy. Well, like, you know, now because he won something and like he can do you some favors, now you're promoting him and, no pun intended, hyping him up. Like, that was corny to me, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it's like, you know, he's like the older vet. He's like, yo, you gotta slow down, bro. But then, like, he does something big, so he's happy for him. No,
it's like Mojo is his like annoying friend that he doesn't want to be friends with, and now he does something good, so he's like, oh, hey, this can help me. Yeah, good job, Mojo. Can't wait to come back and team with you, bud.
But that also might be like the beginning of a good story. I mean, he comes back, and you could tell that Ryder's just in it to ride on his coattail so that he turns heel. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it would be pretty effective. So let's just look at the kind of major points of Raw. The Revival beat New Day. Makes sense. New Day was going out anyway. Big Show. This is the thing. Hawkins gets announced as the first guy, then gets decked by Big Show. So he immediately keeps that same level of status. Like, why did that even happen? Big Show doesn't even get... Right? Big Show didn't get traded.
No.
It was just literally like, I don't want to hear this guy talk anymore.
What do you mean?
Like, Big Show knocking out Curt Hawkins. Like, why did that have to happen?
No.
You immediately make him look like a joke.
That wasn't on Hulu, so I missed it.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah. Curt Hawkins is like, hey, I'm here, and now, Raw, you're going to have to face the facts. And then Big Show just walks in the ring and punches him in the face.
Well, but that's what Curt Hawkins does. Like, he's just that annoying little thing. That's pretty funny.
One of the things I really liked is apparently evil Neville, the British guy, kind of whispered in T.J. Perkins' ear, and now T.J. Perkins is a heel. I think immediately I felt more charisma.
I didn't see that either.
Yeah, so basically he says before the match with Aries that Perkins is like being taken overlooked, and that Aries is taking his spot. So
Neville says this
to Perkins. Yeah, so Perkins comes out with a little bit of an edge. He ends up winning by like cheating a little bit. And then what you end up having is like he cuts a promo like later on or for like 205 Live where he's really being a heel, and I thought he was so much better than most of his promo work as a face.
Okay.
I think it's a good start for him as well. Did you see
that's part of the problem with 205 Live, with the Cruiserweights in general. They haven't given them time to develop characters and personalities, you know. Who are the guys that we talk about? Aries and Neville, right? Those are two guys who didn't need any help. Those guys are amazing on their own. But then you have a Jack Gallagher who is a character. Like, that's all he is. And so other than that, everyone else is just a wrestler. They're all doing the same things. Nobody has any mic time on Raw. So it's kind of just there.
Yeah, I think they spent a lot of time with Noam Dar, but now I feel like he's irrelevant again, so I don't know. Yeah, you need to have, I think that when you have less airtime, it needs to be very clear who the face and who the heels are.
Right.
Like, it just... You need to kind of go old school when you only have that little amount of time. So I think this is a great move. I was really excited, actually, because I've been a fan of Perkins since, you know, watching him evolve, and then he's been in 205 Live, and then it just felt like he plateaued a little bit. So I want to see more out of him. This is why, the way Perkins has worked out, this is why I get upset when a guy leaves Evolve or NXT, or Ring of Honor and goes to WWE. You know, like him, Apollo Crews, these guys who would have been bigger stars in where they were, I guess. And then they come here and of course, you know, they're misused, but why? Because there's not enough time. There's so many people.
Right. And I think where you're off with that is T.J. Perkins wasn't a huge star on the Indies. Like, he wasn't a huge name. UHA Nation, Paul Cruz, yeah, he was generating some buzz. But also, T.J. Perkins jumped right to Raw and right to the Cruiserweight. So there was no real ceiling for him yet. But, you know, you talk about those guys who leave companies and don't succeed, but then look at the Owens or the Zanes or you know, the AJs or the Finns or whoever who go there and thrive. So, or Rollins, Ambrose. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. And of course, every now and then, there's going to be a couple who fall by the wayside. That's just the nature of the beast. You know, there's not enough time for everyone, like we all know. But the cream rises to the top, you know.
Oh, you're right there. And then, of course, I mean, really, we ended up having a champion versus champion match, but it wasn't for either title. So it was, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't really super interested in it.
No, yeah, I couldn't have cared less about this. It was, oh, well, Dean Ambrose is on Raw now. And since the IC title is on Raw, that means the US title is going to be on SmackDown. So Dean Ambrose is winning this match. Like, there was no... You know, there was no real question about that.
And then the biggest news from Monday Night Raw, my apologies, Roman Reigns is doing a backstage interview with Adam Cole Adam Cole. Michael Cole.
Adam Cole, huh? Pretty cool.
Yeah, Michael Cole, baby. No, so Michael Cole.
Could you imagine how great would that be if it just Michael Cole was backstage one day doing an interview and like Kevin Owens walked up and he was like, oh, Michael Cole, baby.
I would piss my pants. That's the way Adam Cole needs to be introduced. And then he's like, hey, Kev, what are you doing? That's me, not him. Oh, it'd be so good. And then Braun Strowman, just to the cheers of the Long Island crowd, and, you know, I wish I could have been there. Probably better off that we didn't buy tickets for the show.
Well, I mean, considering I broke my ankle at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday, that was just out of the question. But, yeah, it would have been awesome. Like, this segment... like I was watching, obviously in the hospital bed on my phone, and just like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like every time you think it's done, I'm not finished with you, and then he tosses him off the thing. Then he flips over the goddamn ambulance. And yes, I'm sure that Braun Strowman didn't actually lift the ambulance, but the camera work, the effects used there. What was perfect to the point that you actually had someone sign a petition online to get him fired from WWE for not being entertainment and this just going too far. Are you shitting me? This is wrestling. This is not a real thing. Like, if you couldn't tell that there was a dummy in the gurney, like, then you're an idiot. But this, oh my god, this was amazing. This was everything they need for Braun to just show that he's a monster. You know, the week after The Undertaker just, Roman Reigns just ended The Undertaker, Braun Strowman just killed Roman Reigns. So I think this sets up beautifully for Braun and Brock at some point. It continues Braun and Bray. And I'm looking forward to what they're doing on Raw.
Now, this was obviously, to me, an effort to make Reigns... face, right?
I see that's my whole thing with this is I don't get it. Like I get the guys involved, you know, Braun and Bray are in a feud, but Braun and Roman are in a feud, but nobody's going to cheer for Roman Reigns. Nobody is going to feel bad for Roman Reigns. No, you know, they cheered because he was getting he got thrown off of a scaffold in a gurney and then flipped over in an ambulance, and people are going insane. It you know, like, people are not going to cheer for Roman Reigns. They have to get over that. They have to embrace that he's a heel, and they got to do something with that. So I don't know where this leads. I guess we'll find out, you know, on Monday if he's taking some time off, he's missing some time with these injuries, or if he's just superhuman and he's back and fine on Raw.
Yeah, I just, I can't believe that I witnessed such a destruction of one man, and it's not going to make him a face. It just made Braun Strowman probably
made Braun Strowman a babyface.
Yeah, he's easily one of the most popular guys in WWE right now to a large swath of the audience because of what he did. That's the best thing I've seen. It's so terrible for me to say this, but that's the best thing I've seen on Raw in a long time.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
Look, I want to put it in perspective. I saw Kevin Owens destroy Jericho, which made me very upset. Not nearly as savage and violent and brutal. And then a couple weeks later, I see Braun Strowman do it to Roman Reigns. I'm like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever watched. So... I don't know. I think that speaks a little.
It was just, you know, all of the like excessive things that he did to Roman. That was just, my God. And, you know, you're not the biggest fan of Roman Reigns. So like, it only makes it better when that happens to someone that you don't even like that, you know?
100%. All right. So let's go to SmackDown. Let me try to think of, see what actually jumps out at me.
I mean, we pretty much discussed most of SmackDown and, you know, with the draft and the number one contender and all that sort of stuff. There was a great Usos and Alpha match again. that, you know, I really wish we would have got to see at WrestleMania at some point, because they have phenomenal chemistry and they kill it every time they're in the ring together.
No, I like that. That was really great. I was actually, God, why does Gronk have to be on the show again? Anyway, but
well, both of these shows were just kind of setting everything up for the rest of the year. You know, it was getting these guys on the shows where they're going to be for the rest of this season or whatever you want to call it. So it was just introducing everyone, getting them some shine. We got Nakamura and Dolph, which, man, that should be pretty fantastic.
Oh, no, I was really excited about that. Does he have to wear the mouthpiece when he cuts a promo? It annoys me. I don't know why that annoys me, but they're really slow playing this, right? Last week he just comes out. This week he comes out and he just says, my name is Shinsuke Nakamura. So, like, I wonder what's going to happen next week. It's just, it's funny how slowly, like, it's moving, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to overexpose that, like, he's Japanese and doesn't talk English that fluently, but if you watch NXT this week, you saw that he can cut a good promo.
Yeah, no, that was good.
He can talk well enough in English to get his point across and get the crowd behind him, so... You know, I think, like you said, just in due time, we'll get all of that. And this is a perfect first feud for him. He's in no jeopardy of losing. Dolph is going to sell the shit out of everything he does. And, you know, on Talking Smack, Dolph is fantastic in just his, like, who? No, yeah, I don't know who he is. It doesn't matter to me who he is. I'll find out and blah, blah. So Dolph was really good in that role as just being that, like, dick heel and... I'm on WWE. I don't care about anyone else who's doing anything else anywhere.
True. No, I thought SmackDown was... Yeah, you're right. But both shows... SmackDown was really good in terms of the fact that they're just setting things up. And I'm excited. I'm actually even excited to see Aiden English go back to his singing gimmick. I think that'll go... they had to do something.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll go the way of Adam Rose.
By the way, if I see Gronk on my TV one more week, I'm going to throw something at the TV.
I mean, you're going to have to get over that. Him and Mojo are legitimate friends.
I know, but
it's kind of just...
Damn, it's April. It's a long time till football season.
Right. If you had a friend that was Gronk, like, wouldn't you... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Anthony Becht. Oh, that would be so great if I could be a WWE superstar and Anthony Becht came to all my matches and got hyped with me. That'd be amazing.
If it would have the same effect, but yeah.
I mean, for me it will, because I made Anthony Becht a superstar in Madden in like 2005. All right, that's 10 years ago. All right, so you got anything else to touch on about this week's program?
No, did you want to... review the pay-per-view you watched yesterday from 4 years ago, or you want to just move on with it?
All right. See, I knew he was going to do
that. We don't really have to discuss that. That was just... I just wanted our listeners to know.
Long story short,
House of Hardcore 3.
Listen,
it was live.
Long story short, Tommy Dreamer tweeted that he'd be live tweeting Flow Slam's House of Hardcore 3 at 8 p.m. I'm feeling a little sick. I thought that meant it was a new House of Hardcore show. I don't pay attention to the numbers of their shows. I thought it was weird that it was 3 because I thought I had watched something that was later.
Yeah, I got like a couple weeks ago it was like 24.
So I put it on and I was shocked by a couple of things. I was like, wow, Matt Hardy's hair doesn't have the blonde streak. Luke Gallows is being managed by his ex-wife.
And he's on the show in general.
Stevie Richards' hair was a lot shorter, but I just thought he got it cut. It took me a while.
Like you saw Kevin Steen advertised. That would have been to me like, wait a minute, what the hell?
Okay, I thought it was a botch by Flow Slam with the picture. And I just was like, okay, I'm still going to watch this. And yeah, no, I was wrong. So that was kind of embarrassing.
you know, in terms of actual things on Flow Slam this weekend, I believe tomorrow is Over the Top Wrestling with Omega and the Bucks, Jay White. So that show should be really, really good. I'm definitely looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, no, Flow Slam is great because what it gives me the opportunity to do is make my wife very angry when she thinks wrestling is over for the week. And I'm like,
especially,
oh no,
when you watch pay-per-views from 2013.
Yeah, luckily she was busy doing some stuff at that time, because I would have probably
been
no, she would have been very upset. Like, I told her the story, she kind of laughed.
I was going to say, like, if she would have been watching it with you, and then you would have been like, I would have broken that news to you, like, wait a minute, this is from 4 years ago, she would have killed you.
Well, let me just tell you that she left the room. This started earlier in the afternoon when I put on Bring It to the Table. The last one was from before Mania.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to watch it. You know, like,
right.
I know that it's from before Mania, but whatever. I just wanted to see the interactions with the three guys. Man, when she realized that it was before Mania, she was like, what? Why are you watching this? I don't even understand. This is analysis about WrestleMania. And I'm like, but it's the banter. And by the way, I don't think my wife dislikes anybody in WWE more than Corey Graves.
Really?
Don't understand why. I mean, by the end of the show, she seemed to be a little bit...
Well, that's because he's a great heel. So he's a great heel, and StatWife is the prototypical fan. So I think it makes perfect sense.
Part of it is also his presentation. She feels like he spends too much time getting ready, and his hair is ridiculous. So it makes her very angry. She's like, that's like a basket weave, his hair.
It goes into being a heel, man.
How much time does that prima donna spend getting ready? And I was like, wow, why do you have so much anger towards Corey Graves? But you're right.
He just wakes up like that.
Just amazing. All right. So with all that out of the way, guys, I just want to share with you guys an interview that we got to do with Jonathan Gresham. He had recently signed a Ring of Honor contract. So sit back, relax, and enjoy hearing about his journey to Ring of Honor, what it meant to sign, and also about Mr. Hughes. Yes, if you know who I'm talking about, it's that Mr. Hughes. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Jonathan Gresham. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, just recent big news, congratulations to you on signing with Ring of Honor. You've been with the company for, you know, here and there, kind of performing on different shows. What does it mean to you to be part of the company consistently now, going forward?
Well, first and foremost, I think it means that my hard work has paid off. And it's a different stage, so I have to step my game up, and I'm very excited to be with Ring of Honor.
So, you know, before you've spent some time in CCW, you actually were a champion over there. What would you say are some differences in performing in front of that crowd as opposed to the Ring of Honor crowd?
I think the big difference is with Ring of Honor is open. The fans are more open to different styles than CZW. I don't want to say closed-minded, but for lack of a better word, that's what I'm going to say to wrestling styles. They're more into the high intense, like, bumps and hardcore in CZW opposed to what I like to do in the ring. So
you've kind of formed a partnership with Moise Machine Guns and Jay White, part of this, like, Search and Destroy kind of overall group. Is that something that you guys will be continuing going forward, or are you going to be focused on singles work?
Definitely. I'm always concerned about my singles career, but right now I think for what Shelly and Saban are trying to do here in Ring of Honor against the Bullet Club, I definitely want to be a part of that and restore honor and respect to Ring of Honor.
So, you know, you've been around for a while, you know, for those who are listening and hearing your name for the first time, which would be shocking. But how did you get your start in the business?
I got my start in Atlanta, Georgia in 2005. I trained under a wrestler from WWE and WCW and ECW fame called Mr. Hughes. And that's where I got my initial training.
Is he always wearing sunglasses, Mr. Hughes?
Yes, I very rarely have seen him without sunglasses. It's true, yes.
I actually was able to go down to Atlanta for the tapings in January, and you were down there at Center Stage. Was that like a special moment for you, being in the Center Stage Theater, you know, where WCW had been taped for so many years?
Yeah, that was actually a long time goal for me to wrestle Center Stage. As a wrestler from Atlanta, I think a lot of guys have that same goal. And so when it finally happened, I remember announcing that was a big goal of mine a few years ago on Facebook, and it was great to be able to scratch it off my bucket list.
It's a pretty weird venue, right? Like, I think it's different than most. Like, you have to like go under the ring almost when you're like backstage.
Yeah, I think it's actually really cool. It reminds me of like a bull ring a little bit.
Yeah, know? Yeah. The fans are all kind of like looking down right at you.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
What would you say are some difficulties you've had getting to this point so far in your career?
To be honest, I hate to sound bitter about it, but it's my reality. Constantly getting looked over because of my size. It doesn't matter what it is. I always have to continue to prove myself. It's not like my reputation precedes me in any situations, really. Maybe good things are being said about me, but people, for some reason, just don't want to see me for what I am. I believe I am. So that's the biggest thing I have to overcome every time. And I don't think any differently in this situation, signing with Ring of Honor. I have to continue to prove myself.
Being with a bigger platform, what are some goals and aspirations you have moving forward in your career?
For the most part, I want to show that just because I'm a smaller competitor, I can't be taken seriously. So that's the first thing I want to show the world, and I want to make it a thing and help smaller guys like myself realize that they can be successful in wrestling without having to be stuck in this bubble of you have to be a high flyer, you have to jump everywhere. You can be different, you can tell stories, you can do whatever it is you want to do. You don't have to be classified as that because that's what is expected of you.
Who are some inspirations you had when you were training and growing up?
Oh man, so many. And they've changed over the years. But starting out, I have to admit, I was a huge mark for, of course, Rey Mysterio, the Hardy Boys, of course. And as I started, because I believe it or not, I wasn't really into indie wrestling when I first started. I had kind of skipped and jumped to Japanese wrestling and stuff. So I was more so looking at guys like Hayabusa and stuff. And so my inspirations ended up coming from like Loki, and then through watching tapes and stuff, I found Alex Shelley. So early on, he was a big influence. So a lot of people that I've gotten a chance to wrestle were my influences, like in Kuto Idaka from 01. Mutual friend of myself and Alex Shelley. The list goes on, but that's just a few for now.
You know, who is the first person that, I guess, made you mark out a bit? As you said, you were into more of the Japanese wrestling, but who's the first person that you got to go against or maybe were in a locker room with that you were like, wow, I can't believe I'm in the locker room with this person?
I'm going to have to say 2012, that's the only thing coming to mind now. I was in Japan for 01, and I got in the ring with Takaiwa. It was the second round of the Tenkaichi Junior Tournament. He's known as the Junior Killer in Japan, so for me that was a big deal. And later on, of course, the Kuto Idaka, but I think Takaiwa was the first one that I was like, holy hell, I'm like in the ring with Takaiwa. So that's the big one for me.
All right, cool. So I know you've got a busy day ahead of you, and you got your tapings going ahead. So you want to plug your social media and where can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. You can just look up Jonathan Gresham. And then my Twitter account, I would like a lot more followers. I only have 2,000 right now. So my Twitter handle is TheJohnGresham. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, thanks so much for your time with us today. And good luck tonight.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank Jonathan Gresham once more for spending some time with us before the taping. I'm sure he was very busy, but it was great to sit down and talk to him and hear his story.
Yeah, completely agree.
All right, so with all that out of the way, let's just get into the kind of head home part of our show. You guys can obviously follow us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store. You can head over to runningwildpodcast.com and give us some hits on our website. Check out the audio there if you're not subscribed to iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at runningwildlwos. Make sure that you can just leave us some comments. We've been running some polls recently. We didn't run them this week, but we'll run one next week. You can send us any questions, trivia. We haven't had some trivia in a while. We'd love that over at Running Wild Podcast gmail.com.
I think what happened was people were like, oh man, all these questions we send in, they figure out the answer to. So maybe we should just stop.
Maybe it's because we're too good.
Yeah, or
100%. You can check out my work over at pwpodrings.com as well as rohworld.com and lastwordonprowrestling.com, where I cover Ring of Honor mostly, but I have intermittent articles about other companies, especially Evolve. Next week, we'll have a preview of the Evolve shows taking place next weekend, and hopefully we'll have some big news to talk about as we head into the show. Oh, actually, there's one last thing. Did you hear about this YouTube restriction now?
Well, you told me about it, but yeah.
Okay. So we're going to find out more about it next week, but we're going to be asking your thoughts, and we'd like to hear from you guys. Send us your thoughts through email or through Twitter about this idea that YouTube is now restricting basically ad revenue for sites that are channels that are categorized as wrestling, which is hurting companies like Beyond and AAW and AIW and the CWF Mid-Atlantic, tons of companies out there that make a lot of their money through revenue from free YouTube channels. So send us in your thoughts. We want to hear about this, whether you're a wrestler, promoter, just a fan, and how you feel about how this is going to impact the industry moving forward.
Right. I mean, definitely unfortunate for, you know, the Beyonds and the companies that have streaming services on YouTube. But, you know, I think now with the High Spots Network and Flow Slam and all these other things that are in the works or possibly coming out or this and that, I you know, might just be time to move on to one of those things.
Hey, listen, the larger Google company messed us over last year and forced us to move our platform and the way we released our content. So I'm not super surprised that they did this. It's just unfortunate overall. But you're right. I think the future is streaming services.
The future is that everything on the indies is going to be on the WWE Network. That's the future.
Yeah. You're probably right. All right. So, yeah. Thanks for joining us this week, guys. We'll have a special early edition out next Friday instead of Saturday, so you guys have some extra time to listen to the previews to the Evolve shows. And as always, thanks for listening to the podcast that is just too
sweet.